Queens, it's the last week of Women's History Month, and as you know, I adore that we are women. I say every single Saturday, blessed are you, O God, for you have created me to be a woman. And I celebrate you too, Queen. Blessed are you, O Lord, for you have created them to be women. How wonderful, how marvelous to have selected us to be the mothers of children, the wives of husbands. Oh, to be the women of sustenance and power, the women who we pray the most, we lift up our families to God the most, the women who love hard. The women who put each other first. The women who pray for each other. The women who carry each other when things are really hard at work. The women who are the ones who call on the name of the Lord in time of trouble. For you, I say, blessed are you, women. Blessed are you. For God has created you to be light to this world. God has created you for more and more and more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. You are going somewhere. You are blessed and highly favored. No good thing will He withhold from you. So may goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. May you know that before you call, God will answer. And let the favor of God surround your life like a shield. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you and shine on you this week.
Hello, hello, hello world. We're honored you came back for season 2 of the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matherson with my ladies Claudia Lewis, everybody calls me Trina, and Veronica Gray, our Queen V. We let come again, Queens.
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean Queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
Yeah, man.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today we're going to discuss money and relationships. And I think a lot of us, when we hear money, we cringe. It's almost like a taboo. You know, when someone asks you about your finances, or when you're dating and you're supposed to find out, nobody ever like ask a guy, apart from how much you make, because them wrong, no. But nobody ever ask a guy like, are you secure? Like, are you financially secure before you enter into a relationship? And I think it stems, today it stems from a lot of things. It stems from our past. It stems from how we grew up with money. It stems from how we deal with money, how we teach our kids about money. It's a lot. So this is what we discussing today.
Woo!
Get ready, get ready, get ready.
I mean, when I go on a date, I'm not going to ask this as the first question. What's your credit score? And one of the sexy questions isn't, hey, how you doing? Where you work? By the way, what's your credit score?
Hello?
See, Tina, but I get it. It's not sexy. But, you know, I can be an engineer and be broke.
Exactly.
I can be a doctor and broke. I can be a doctor with school loans that I am barely surviving. Don't look at the outside people. Come on.
You know what? You're trying to impress the guy. And you say, you know, I work for XYZ. I have my bachelor's in this. I have my master's in that. I push my way forward. And I've worked at this company. And I've gotten that promotion. And now, you know, I'm looking for the next level. You know, just think about you presenting yourself when you're just talking to someone for the first time and you're trying to make a good impression.
Okay, I'm not saying on the first date. Come on, no. I'm not saying on the first date.
They might run away and don't come back now.
Not on the first date. I'm saying just as how we young ladies would like to have our list of requirements and what we want in a mate, that should be a part of your questionnaire. That should be, so you know, remember when Steve Harvey had that book about 90 day rule or something like that? Right. So within that 90 days, I'm just saying introduce the topic. Not on the first date. Maybe the fourth date, you guys are, you know, you're gelling now. And the fourth date, you can go a little bit deeper, you know, before, you know, you run the police report already before you go out with him. So I'm just saying, on the fourth date, let's talk about money.
Mamis,
because
Mamis, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So how do you frame it? So that it doesn't come across as this girl is asking me too much of my business. And she seems to be a gold digger. How do you frame it?
Well, the thing is, I love to, you know how we people watch? I have a sixth sense, and I listen to what people are not saying, and I also watch what they're doing, and it tells me a lot. So people, women, look for the clues. But you can also ask in a nice way by saying, so what do you think about joint accounts? Or what do you think about your how do you handle your finances? You're not asking him about his credit score. You're just asking him, how does he handle his finances? Now, with that, he should probably tell you about whether he has a 401k, which means he's thinking ahead. He's planning for the future. If he, you know, saves, if he has a goal, like ask him about, you know, his five-year goals. If that includes only spending and nothing about building and, you know, building is to help you earn more. Spending is just depleting what you have. So ask about those little clues, just little things that will give you an idea of where their mindset is about finances. Also, you have to really watch. Like, I'm not saying a flashy guy and a guy who spends a lot is not secure financially, but just watch to make sure that it's consistent. And don't fall for certain traps. Send out little, I want to call them feelers. Some people might call those tests. By asking little, so how was, maybe this is a bit much. Did you have a good tax year last year? This might be a bit much.
Oh, Lord, man.
Am I going to run Trina?
Let me tell you something.
What? You know, I just want to know if you owe the IRS or not. I'm just...
Well, family, I'm doing but I'm going to wear it.
No.
We are really... This is a very important topic for us to get into, so just sit tight with us. We're going somewhere. But I'm going to be asking questions on your behalf, so don't go. Just sit tight. Finances are a little bit rough, but it's okay. It's okay. So, Queen D... all right, so we all should have watched a Tinder swindler by now, right? Like, as an example of somebody who was flashy, private jet, this and that. You know, a lot of guys put themselves together. Some are flashy, some have the best of everything in terms of designer, you know, clothes, or if not, they're, like, dressed to the nine, okay? It's important to them to do that. They might have a fancy car. They might smell great. Queen V, how do you put out feelers to get an easy conversation started, to get into his head about his financial patterns and his spending habits?
How do you do that? Talk up the thing.
Just soft questions. Throw out, you know, I'm almost finished with my student loan. Do you have student loans? You know, I was thinking, I saw a house. I was thinking of investing. Do you have investments? Just to talk about, did you hear about what's happening in the market? Do you study the markets? Are you into investments? I heard this new thing about electric vehicles are going to be automated, and that's the future. And, you know, charging systems and, you know, solar panels. What do you think? Do you think that's something good to get into? Just throw out certain things to see where they are and how are they thinking about things in terms of finances. That will let you know whether they are spenders, whether they are obtaining more liabilities than assets. So when you're talking about someone thinking about the stock market, that person is buying more assets versus someone who just wants the latest car, shoes, or, you know, watch or whatever. What I notice as well, people with money are not flashy. So if your guy you're dating is too flashy, sometimes that just means he poor, girl. Atlanta people love nice cars. And I've seen many of nice cars parked in an apartment building with four roommates in a three-bedroom apartment.
That right there is the truth.
Don't look at the flash. Get these little questions in to see where they are financially. Because if you're getting in a relationship with someone and you're not on the same level with finances, you're going to have to deal with that. And you can fall in love and you can make it work, but the person is going to have to be compatible financially with you, or you're always going to have one person resenting the other because one will be a spender and one will be a saver.
Teacher. Yes. Question.
Yes, Trina.
Because I'm independent. I don't need his finances. Why is this important? We talking about finances. I make more money than he does, so why I need to know about his finances?
Because, boo-boo, if he broke and he keeps spending and you're the only one making more money, who you think he going to come to and ask for money? Where you think your excess funds will be ended up?
But my money's my money. My money's my money. His money's his money.
But guess what? When we start having those feelings and we love them, we start opening not only our hearts, but our wallets. I'm just saying, we can see from the same show that the documentary Tina was suggesting earlier, the reason why these women were okay to assist him is because they fell in love with him. With the other lady, it was her friend and she cared for him, so she didn't want anything to happen to him. So that's why she gave her money. Once emotions are involved, sometimes logic goes out the way.
But you know how it goes. When some men don't want to talk about finances, they may label the young lady as a gold digger. How does she avoid being labeled as a gold digger because she's brought up finances?
Because you're also telling them about yours. You're not just asking them about theirs. It's how you do it. Because if you're saying, I'm interested in this and I have this stock portfolio, or I'm thinking of getting this place to remodel to, if you're talking on investments that you're doing, you first start with you. So you're not just saying that I want to know what you're bringing only to the table. I'm telling you what I have. So you put yourself there first so that it's easier for them to open and be feel, okay, so she's sharing, I will share. But follow it up, because you just don't want to hear the words. You want to make sure that they are true.
What if I share and he's not doing any of those things, and now he becomes intimidated because I am so advanced in my finances and he doesn't want to date me no more?
Again, those are signs. do you want that person? If he is insecure, do you want that person? I'm just saying. Should that be on your list? You don't want someone who's intimidated by you and your successes? That should be a red flag. I'm just saying. For some, it might not be. But I'm just saying, that's a flag.
Thanks for pointing out the red flags, because we need that.
Red flag, red flag. Well, what about if you're uncomfortable about talking about money? How do you bring up the, how do you bring that up?
So the thing is, and I get it, people are going to be uncomfortable with money just based on things that might have happened to them in the past, or just how they were raised, or, you know, something. It might be a traumatic experience that trigger, maybe lack, or you never ever had to ask for it before. But we deal with this on a daily basis. So, say for instance, you're at dinner and he asked to split the check. How do you feel? That's money involved. How do you feel when, what do they call it here? They call it Dutch. You go Dutch, you pay for yours, I pay for mine. How do you feel if someone asks for you to pay for your meal on a date?
On a date, me personally, the Dutch, I'm offended by that.
The beloved Queens Podcast will continue after this break.
Beloved, come join us in the room on Clubhouse for Talk Up the Take, where we're going to discuss freely. We'll be live. Come bring your testimonies. We have been sharing with you, so come share with us. This Wednesday at 8 p.m., share with at least 10 people so we all can talk up the things then.
We're inviting women-run businesses to partner with us. Yes, our sponsorship packages are available at thebelovedqueens.com. All you have to do is simply click the red heart at the top right-hand corner to take advantage of the ads and other amazing offers. If you're a listener, though, who enjoys our content and would love to support us, you can donate there, too. Subscribe today. Go ahead to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or iHeartRadio, and share, share, share. And we're back.
On a date, me personally, the Dutch, I'm offended by that. And I'll tell you why. Because if you invited me out, you're taking on the responsibility of paying for whether it's a meal, a movie, or whatever. And here's the thing, ladies. I invite you out, I am expecting to pay the bill. The way I want to be treated is the way I want you to treat me too. That's how I look at it.
But how do you feel about the money aspect of it? Because you're at the date now. He never told you that he wanted you to split the check. The check came and he's like, you're going to have to pay for your half.
I'm going to pay for my half, but he will not be seeing me. I'm feeling like, why should I have to pay for my half?
Is that a flag for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a flag.
But if he did the whole romance and he did payment and everything, and then one day he can't. He wine and dined you. And then one day he can't do that anymore. Would you feel comfortable asking why it all stopped?
Yes, I would be comfortable.
But that's a money question. You don't ask it as a money question, but it's a money question. You see what I'm saying? There are a lot of things in life that are money related, but we don't link it because we don't actually say the word. But you're asking him what happened. Why is it that all of a sudden he can't wine and dine you? He's thinking, you know, I'm trying to build a house. I'm trying to put money away. Those are decisions that he's made, monetary decisions that he's making, but you just ask him a money question not knowing it.
I agree with you.
I have a story when I was dating my husband and we went to ice cream shop. I love ice cream. And we were in Jamaica and I went to an ice cream shop and I was buying him ice cream. And this little girl, she can't be more than 8 or 9. She was so thrown off by the fact that I was buying the ice cream for him. And she was like, why are you buying him ice cream? He should be buying you ice cream. And I said to her, why should he always be buying me the ice cream? She says, because that's what men do. She's 8 or 9 years old. And I was like, but what if he wants, sometimes you want the same way. I said to her, you know how you feel when you get ice cream from someone? I want him to feel that way. And it's almost like the light went off in her eyes. She's like, oh, because you associate the feeling that she enjoyed from it. And if you like the person, you want them to have that feeling as well. But it was throwing how we raise our kids, our young women, to be like, they should always be taking, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm just saying that same feeling that you get when someone treats you, takes you to dinner, the guy wants to have that feeling too. It would be nice. I'm not saying you should do it all the time and the modern women, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying if you care for the person, treat them sometime. Don't get caught up in the whole role thing. Share the same feeling so that they can enjoy it too. Or experience the same feeling and joy you get when you get served and wine and dined.
I enjoy wining and dining my husband. There's something about that that makes me like, I'm happy to do it. Really and truly. As a matter of fact, I owe him a romantic dinner too. But yeah, I think we need to think about that. And whether you're dating someone, how nice would it be for you to allow that person to have the same experience that you're having? Just imagine that for a second. Like, what would that feel like for that person? And surprise them.
And sometimes it's not, sometimes you might be the first time that they've ever experienced it.
Question.
Yes, Tina.
So you were saying that the money question can be brought up about the fourth date or so. At what point do you start treating him with like ice cream? Is that a first date? At what point is it comfortable to start treating the man to something?
No, I think you will know. I think you will know when you want to do that. Some people, modern dating, they do the Dutch thing on the first date. You know, they started out like that. So there is no, he paid for the bill or whatever. Some people nowadays, that's what they do. So there's no way to, you know, treat him. But for those who did it the old-fashioned way, you will know when you want to treat him. Not only on his birthday or his, you know, something special, but just because once you start having feelings for someone, you're going to change how you behave towards them. There are certain things you're going to want to do for that person when you start having feelings, certain feelings for them. When you've gone over that, oh, you know what? I no longer just like you. I really am interested in taking this further.
So when is it appropriate to ask about the credit score now?
You know what?
I think it should not be beyond the 90 days because if everything is supposed to be done within that 90 days, I think day 80, because listen... 70 to 80, you just have to know what's going on, man, because you don't want to be all vested. all emotionally invested, and then you can't, because, well, with the 90-day rule, was the 90-day rule is to know the person before you have intimacy with the person. It's after 90 days, then you have the intimacy. That was the whole 90-day rule. The book by Steve Harvey, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, the 90-day rule was the premise of when you normally get to a job, you have a 90-day probational period. So each job gives you 90 days probation to see if how well you're doing on the job. After that 90 days, they decide to keep you permanently. So that's what you're doing in the dating aspect. You meet the person. They have 90 days to prove if they're worthy enough to keep the job, to keep to have the relationship. So I'm just saying, throughout that process, and at the end of the 90 days for the relationship, they get to have sex. That's was the goal. I'm just saying, before you even get there, what's your credits, girl, bro? I need to know everything. But that's me. And some people are not going to be comfortable with that. I just think that we have to discuss finances within the 90 days. You might not go as deep as the credit score, but you can know a person how their credit score. People with good credit score are not afraid to say they have good credit score. There is no shame. There is nothing. There's no hiding. They're like, I'm good. It's when they start getting, you know, then you know they have something to work on. And I'm not saying you're looking for people with perfect scores. I'm just saying people who are working on their finances, it's different than someone who doesn't care, and you can tell. If they're dodging the questions, you can tell. If they're working on it, they're not afraid to say that I'm working on it. I started here. I'm getting things in order. And again, I'm just hoping that you're dating people who are at that level where they're not afraid to tell you where they are in life. Again, that could be a flag. If people are sketchy and don't want to open up, that could be a flag. What are you hiding?
Mimis.
Yes, Tina.
What's supposed the parents never teach them good money management skills?
That's fine. We have the internet. We have all types of tools on the Google. There is no excuse for you to come to me and tell me I was never taught. Anything you want to learn, it is on TikTok, Instagram, Google, Facebook, information. We have Udemy. There is Slacker with teacher. There is too many tools for you to get the information you need in today's world for you to tell me I'm acting this way because I did not know. I was not raised like this. If you were interested, you will go and seek the information. And it's okay to ask for help. And I would respect the man who would ask and say they're working on it and say, you know what, I don't know. I would love to learn. Then someone be like, nah, I'm good. I still don't know anything.
Even if they're trying to impress me?
Impress me with what? I'm sorry, but how are you trying to impress me? And then if we're in a relationship, we can't eat because you spend all our money on bling. I'm sorry. We can't go on a vacation because you blinging out. Sorry. I'm just saying there are flags. If someone is not upfront or someone is too... I get it. Some people can be embarrassed. But if you are working on changing, and anybody will be willing to work with someone who is willing to change. The problem women have is when you do not want to change and you are stuck in where you are and you're comfortable being stuck where you are. If that is not a red flag, I don't know what is. You can't accept, like, that's how I am and I don't need anybody to tell me I'm good. I can pay my bills. I don't need anybody. But you're not building on anything. I can't think of a future with you and I should sit and have a child with you when you still want to stay in that apartment and you're not thinking of anything in terms of investment. You're not thinking of how our life is going to change. My child wants piano lessons and I can't pay for it because you still in the one job and you're not thinking of growing. I'm sorry. You're thinking about a life for yourself and your future family. And he's not on any thought process of what his future will be. Flags, 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 flags.
So, miss, it sounds like if you're going to entangle with someone, they need to be somewhat of a visionary so that they kind of have a glimpse of what's to come. Is that what you're saying?
Of course. Because I'm looking for a mate. When you go for the job and you're applying for that job, you are envisioning, okay, I'm going to go into this job. Is there growth potential at this job? And a lot of people, let me go back to the whole job thing. So you are entering a job and that 90 day is not only for the employer, it's all for the employee. Do not go in there thinking it's only for the employer. They are checking to see if you are a fit for them, but you should be checking if they're a fit for you as well. Does that company offer growth potential for you? In that 90 day, you should see whether or not you can grow in that place. If that's not possible, do your years thing and move on to somewhere where you're going to grow and benefit from that. Just like the relationship. If you go in and throughout that 90 days, you can't see any growth and you're still in it. Okay, he has a little potential. And you go in 4 months, 5 months, and you still seen, but it's not working out. Bounce.
Is there a limit to how many red flags you can see before the deal breaks?
Yeah, but that's on a personal thing, though. I mean, what I might consider deal breakers might not be what another person might consider a deal breaker. And that's why I started out with women having that list. The flags that help you to determine but what might be considered a flag or a deal breaker. Like something might not make a flag. It might just be straight up a deal breaker for me.
But money things are just so, some people have difficulty asking for it. Some people have difficulty talking about it. Some people have difficulty.
I have difficulty even asking. I have difficulty asking for money. And it was so, looking back, it really didn't even make any sense. But that's just where my mentality was. When I stopped working because I was just at the brink of like, I need to find who, you know, stop being this person. And I would not, we have a joint account. I have my personal account. We have a joint account. We have one for bills. We have joint savings. We have investment account. We have all these other things. And I kid you not, I did not remember that I had a joint account. If my money was not enough in my account, I just thought I had no money. We had joint savings. I didn't even remember that we had joint savings. It's not that I even have access to it. I have access to all our accounts. I never thought that I could go and get the funds from the joint. I just thought whatever was in my account, my personal account, if it was done, it's done. I am broke.
So you never saw the two of your money as both yours and his?
In my mind, it never existed.
Why?
But I just thought, okay, if I don't know where at, I was like, I think I was on the mountain with Trina. I was like, I don't know where, why it connected. I was like, oh yeah. I have money. I just like, I was like, oh yeah, I do have money. And it's not like, I wasn't saving towards anything and didn't know that there was money. It's almost like, you know how I said that you allocate money and have plans for it. If that money has an assignment, I am not moving it from there. It doesn't exist for me. It no longer existed. I'm thinking that the joint account is to pay our expenses. It's to pay our living expenses. And if I am not working and putting money into that joint account anymore, I am not able to withdraw money from the account. That was my mentality. it sound bad. It don't make any sense, no. But I'm just saying that was my mentality. If I am not adding, I should not be taking.
Lord, as we have discussed finances and dealing with them in relationships, Lord, you see how many of us, Lord, you see how many of our listeners are just plain flat out uncomfortable about talking about money. Some of us fear dealing with money. Some of us have mindsets that keep us trapped in old cycles of poverty, lack, or stagnation. Deliver us now in the mighty name of Jesus. I just want to decree and declare that money is not the root of all evil. The love of it is. And so I pray, dear Lord, I make these declarations that, Lord, you will teach us to profit and lead us in the way that we should go. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. You see those who are in lack, in poverty, but your word decrees and declares that wealth and riches are in our house because we fear you and delight greatly in your commandments. Your word also declares over our life that the blessing of the Lord upon our lives make us rich. So I decree and declare that we are blessed coming in this week. We are blessed going out. We are your servant, dear Lord, and you take pleasure in our prosperity. I thank you, Lord, that we can meditate on your word day and night so that whatever we do will prosper. Let peace be within our walls and prosperity within our homes. We will prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. In your precious mighty name, Jesus, amen.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at The Beloved Queens.